The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is good, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the SB Nation NFL show brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera here with you for something a little bit different the day before Thanksgiving. I'm going to get into all of that, but before I do, I need to remind you that DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at DraftKings. Okay, so today, instead of NFL University, we are going to bring you an interview that we did last week with the director of the new Tom Brady miniseries, Gautam Chopra. Gautam has worked with some of the biggest names in sports, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Simone Biles, and he is hooked up with Brady now for this docuseries. It's called Man in the Arena. It's a 10-part series all about Tom Brady's Super Bowls. I had the chance to sit down with him, as I said last week, to talk about it. So that's what we have for you today. Before we get to that, though, I just want to let you know, different schedule this week because of the holiday. There will be no daily kickoff on Thanksgiving tomorrow, but don't worry, that will be back on Friday. We will recap all of the games for you, so you'll be caught up there. Tomorrow on Thanksgiving, we're going to have a special edition extravaganza for you. Me, RJ Ochoa, and Brandon Lee Gowden are going to break down all of the Thanksgiving Day games so you can preview the games in the morning when you're getting ready. Maybe you're driving, whatever the case may be, we'll break it all down for you. And then the look ahead with me and RJ is still going to happen this week. Don't worry, it's just going to drop a day later on Friday because of the holiday, but we're still going to take our four deep dives. There are a ton of good games on the schedule this week. We'll do the lightning round too, so you're not going to miss anything there. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy my interview with the wonderful, delightful Gautam Chopra. This is the SB Nation NFL show, and we are very pleased and privileged to be able to bring you a man, the director of The Man in the Arena, out now on ESPN Plus. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Gautam Chopra. Gautam, thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Fun to be here.
So you're a very busy man. You've got this 10-part series coming out. You've got the companion podcast coming out also that debuts this week. Religion of Sports. Like, do you have time to do anything else?
Not really. I mean, much to my wife's chagrin, but, you know, I'm having fun. So it's kind of like the line between, oh, this is work and I just get to like do all this fun stuff is pretty blurred. But yeah, it's been busy. And, you know, as I think you probably know, when you do a 10-part series and episode one comes out, I mean, there's a minor celebration, but you're still working on the other nine to get them across the other across the line. So we're hard at work over here.
Can we just for a second acknowledge the absurdity that you are doing a series about someone's Super Bowl appearances and it has to be 10 parts because Brady has been to 10? Like, we all kind of skip over that a little bit.
I mean, it's absurd. And that, you know, things go right, we could be doing 11 and he seems to show signs of going away anytime soon. So who knows how many, but yeah, I mean, he even says it, I think at the end of the first episode where he talks sort of like with this perspective of like, you know, of how he's accomplished this, but he's sort of in disbelief. And even at, I think the last line of the first episode is he says, and I'm effing still doing it. Like, you know, it's happening. And while it's a retrospective in some ways, it's also a real-time masterclass that's ongoing.
I just want to point out, there's one little sort of, not hypocrisy, but one thing that jumped out to me, because in one of the episodes, you talk about the Tom Jackson quote, the Patriots hate their coach. And it was a very famous thing, you know, lives in infamy now right. because they've won so much. And Brady talks about blocking out the noise. But then later in the same episode, he talks about a comment from Marcus Pollard, the Colts tight end, where he says, well, just give us the trophy now. So can you just tell Tom the next time you talk to him, like, we know you listen to stuff. Everybody listens to stuff and it's okay.
Absolutely. I mean, he listens. There's so much more noise than there ever was, I think, you know. But, you know, that's one of like, look, it's full of contradictions. But, you know, that at any given moment, guys like, you know, Tom, Kobe was like the master of this, is like, they turn everything around them into fuel. Okay, like block out the noise, got it. Next time it's the noise, like that's going to motivate. It's like there's constantly like finding that thing to give an edge. And half the time it, yeah, it's like a paradox or contradicts each other, but it doesn't matter because for them, it's just like getting to the next stage, the next game.
Like Brady always says, his favorite Super Bowl championship is the next one. Yes. You've worked with Brady, Kobe Bryant, Simone Biles, very ultra high achieving people. You've been around a lot of high achieving people. Is there one sort of common personality trait that you think binds them all?
Yeah, it's the work. I mean, you know, it's like sort of the glamorous answer would be like, there's this sort of spirituality to what they do. And I mean, there is obviously, you know, it's that sort of being in the zone sort of thing. But, you know, like not to name drop, but I'm working with Steph Curry on something right now who I've worked with in the past. And like Steph, who's about to break the record, like for the all-time three-point record, he's still like, I don't know, there's something wrong with his shot. He's like tweaking it. Like, and so what does he do on an off day? He's in the gym. Sometimes like after a game where he scored like 40 plus points, he's in the gym. And, you know, same thing with Tom. Tom's like, he's constantly sort of working on his hip motion, or is this, or is that? I mean, this guy's 44 years old at this point, 43 years old. And he's still like, nah, I think there's still something I can tweak in my throwing motion, or I need to, you know, tweak my sleep schedule or something. It's just like the relentlessness like of it, just this unquenching thirst to get better.
Does he apply that same kind of work ethic to this series? Because I know he's very involved in the production of the series.
He does, but in a very different way. Like, and I'd say the apt, you know, like analogy is, you know, Tom will like, so on the football, he doesn't tell his receivers like what to do. Like he works with them recognizing they're really good at what they do. Tom's not a receiver. He couldn't run the patterns that Antonio Brown does, but it doesn't mean he doesn't talk to them. So look, I'm constantly in correspondence. He's also in the middle of a season trying to like win another Super Bowl. So I'm very sensitive to that. He and I have such a good rhythm. I know like, when do I need his point of view on something and when do I not? And otherwise he's pretty trusting. I mean, there was a lot more, I'd say, interaction during the off seasons when he has the time. But, you know, one thing I know, and I cheer every Sunday because obviously one, Tom's a friend, but two, I'm like, oh, it's going to make Monday and Tuesday so much easier to communicate with him if I need to. You know, Monday is a pretty short day. Tuesdays they have off and it's like I can engage. But Tom, there's no such thing as an off day. He just doesn't really have to be at the facility. So, but yeah, know how to navigate. And he's very trusting of the team.
So you've noticed a difference then if the Bucks are coming off a loss, maybe that, you know, he's not quite as receptive to that text when it comes in?
Oh, of course. I mean, everyone in his inner circle knows, like, you got to be really sensitive. He's probably better now. I think he's got a lot of perspective and a week 8 loss doesn't, you know, necessarily destroy the season, but he's still such a competitor. Like a preseason game. He goes out, he wants to win. He wants to be the best. And, you know, if it comes up short for whatever reason, sure, it affects his mood.
One of the things that struck me about this is obviously the stuff with Tom is great. He's a great storyteller. But the other people that you talk to, like the first episode with Drew Bledsoe, you kind of explore the other side of the story that I feel like hasn't gotten as much attention, is that like, it killed Drew Bledsoe to not be that guy leading his team when Tom takes over. You can hear it in his voice and you can see it on his face. To this day, it still bothers him. And that to me is something about the show that makes it so much better, because you get the other aspect of the Brady story. Because let's face it, it's been 20 years. A lot of that field has been plowed already.
Sure. Yeah. So look, it's point of view, to your point. Like, we know these stories. Like, there's not really, you know, we're not breaking any news with any of these anecdotes, but it's really point of view. And I remember, so the way it worked often was, or mostly, is like, you interview Tom, you know, we spend like 2 hours, maybe 3 hours per episode, and he'll tell the story of that season. And there'll be characters that sort of come up over and over. And it's not like, Drew is probably a pretty predictable character. Like, that's an important one, but it's the things Tom talked about. And Tom said, it wasn't like, I mean, sure, Drew, all pro quarterback, he helped me with my technique or throwing a seam route or whatever, but it was really like observing this, you know, franchise quarterback, this $100 million guy, and how he dealt with, you know, something that was really difficult for him personally, but that for the team, you know, certainly there was momentum that year. And he's like, that's what I learned from him. I learned about humility. I learned about team. That's something that helped me on my journey. And so that sort of becomes the guiding light. Then what, because you could go do, you know, a whole series just on Drew. Like, the guy is incredibly accomplished. And, you know, I would say, like, I was a Drew Bledsoe guy. I grew up in New England. Drew was the guy who, with Bill Parcells, made that organization legit. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of story for Drew, but it's like, what do we really want to talk to him about? Well, the sort of guiding light that Tom gave us to talk to him.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And how do you, when it comes to some of the other people, Rodney Harrison, Lawyer Malloy, Teddy Bruschi, do you sort of have an idea of where you want to go with them? Or do you sort of evolve things as they talk to you and give you information?
Well, I have an instinct as both the Patriot, longtime Patriot fan, and or doing my research, you know, kind of knowing what are the stories going on that season. But I would say mostly it's guided by Tom. Like, Tom will, you know, because a lot of it's like, I'll say, like, we didn't seek out to do, you know, there's this great book out there called The Dynasty, which is probably the definitive history of the Patriots, or as close to it as there is. And, you know, that's the one where they just endless anecdotes, and I'm sure they'll turn that into a doc series, and they'll talk to a million different people. Ours is called Manning the Arena. It's Tom Brady's point of view across these 20 years. And therefore, he in some ways curates, while he talks and he lavishes praise on everyone on the team, there are people that he has relationships with that he, you know, had, yeah, like a personal connection with, either on or off the field. And that sort of became the guide. So, you know, there's a couple characters later, like, I would have never predicted that Bill O'Brien, his, you know, former quarterbacks coach turned offensive coordinator, would be the guy that Tom's like, yeah, let's talk to Bill. Bill has some interesting stories to talk about that 2011 season. And, you know, that was really fun to sort of, there's certain ones you're like, okay, Randy Moss or, you know, Drew Bledsoe or whatever, that feel like I could have done this, Tom. But, you know, when he sort of shines a light on someone special, that's pretty great.
Can we talk about the title a little bit? Man in the Arena. That obviously comes from the quote from Teddy Roosevelt about how don't believe the critics. What matters is the man in the arena with the blood and the sweat and the dust and all that. But is anyone really criticizing Tom Brady at this point? Like, he's the man in the arena. He's the only guy in that arena. He's got 7 Super Bowl rings. So how did you decide on that title?
Well, but you'd be shocked, right? Like, 2-game losing streak right now. And it's, I mean, back, you turn it on, people are like, I don't know, like, maybe he's 44 years old. This is what happens. Like, I don't know, the Bucs organization. I don't know. There's just noise. There is noise. I mean, it drives the narrative. So I think there amazingly is somehow still criticism, et cetera. I mean, sure. I think when we step back, there's not a lot of debate amongst informed you know, people that, okay, this guy's kind of, you know, top of the mountain when it comes to the discussion. But I think this goes back to like what really motivates him. And that man in the arena, like he talks about it, like that was, I guess, in Michigan where he went to college, there was the quote, like in the locker room, and he's held on to that. And that's what's sort of interesting about Tom is like, incredible accomplishments, fame, fortune. Now he's like, you know, a dad of three. And yet you can still feel he's that 199th pick who was overlooked at the draft because of all these different reasons. It's still inside of him. And I think as long as he feels that, I'll say, like, in my observation, it's not the physical stuff that Tom's figured that out, like the pliability and the TB12 stuff. It's the mental and emotional drive that he still has, that he's still sort of on the outside. Like somehow he's internalized that. And as long as that's there, that's the key. Like that's what motivates him. And, you know, I don't know, like you'd be around him, like you chose no sign of letting up anytime soon.
Yeah. As someone who doesn't root for the Patriots or now the Buccaneers, I'm really ready to be done with Tom. Like anytime he wants to walk away is cool with me. The interesting perspective from this series is that he's looking back, he's played so long that he can somehow look back 20 years on his career and have that perspective while also still being an active player. And there's one line where he's talking about 2004 and he says, I was the same age as everybody else. And I thought that was just a really interesting line because he hasn't had that for so long. At 44, he could be the dad of so many of his teammates that it's he's the way he said it, he almost like longed to have that again. And it's really interesting to be able to hear that from somebody who's also still playing.
Look, Tom's son Jack is 14 years old, same age as my son. He is closer to a lot of Tom's teammates' age by a lot than Tom. Like, you know, and I think when he talks about that first phase, I see this as three trilogies, like, and when he talks about those first three Super Bowl teams where they won 3 and 4 years between, I think, 2001, 2005, there's a wistfulness to him. Like he longs for those days, same age, you know, he didn't have the fame. He could kind of go and do whatever he wanted. There was no social media. He was hanging out in locker rooms, playing dominoes and stuff with his teammates. I mean, there was a real brotherhood there. And I think that's kind of the culture that the Patriots built. And it, it's not just age. It's also, it's fame, you know, it becomes something that really separates you from everyone else.
You've worked with LeBron, like I said, and obviously Brady, and they're two very different stars from one point of view. Is that LeBron has been, we will never see anything like LeBron again. He's been in the spotlight since he was 14 years old. Like they asked John Lennon one time, what's it like to be a Beatle? And his response was, what's it like not to be? Because that's all he had ever known. And that's sort of where LeBron is too. Whereas Brady went from complete anonymity to the star of stars. Have you noticed kind of a difference in how those guys deal with the fame?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm definitely not as close to LeBron as I am to Tom. But yeah, I think, you know, LeBron's also sort of become this cultural figure. You know, Tom, in his own way, yeah, but, you know, it's being African-American, frankly, in America. It's LeBron is very politically engaged. He's an activist. So, like, he wears his fame in a very different way, and he wields it in a different way. But, and I think, you know, basketball has been this sort of interesting cultural force in America and really across the world. I mean, and not, you know, from Bill Russell to Allen Iverson, it's different. Football is a very American game. So it's different, but again, going back to what's the same is that drive. I mean, LeBron, there's no such thing as a day off. I mean, he posted on Instagram, you see it all the time during the off season, but the guy is just like, relentless, you know, and that 100% in common.
Talking with Gotham Chopra here, the director of Man in the Arena, which is out now on ESPN Plus. New episodes come out every Tuesday. There's also a companion podcast that you can check out. Another thing that jumped out to me from the episodes that I've seen is there's a difference between the moments that you and I think about when we think about Brady and his history and the moments that stick out to him that he remembers. For instance, on one of the game-winning drives in the Super Bowl, he remembers a pass that he throws that is not meant for Troy Brown, but Troy Brown jumps up and catches it. None of us are thinking about that. None of us even knew that Troy Brown wasn't the intended receiver, but that jumps out to him. Have you noticed when you work with all these big stars that the moments that mean something to them are often very different from what we might think they would be?
Yeah, no, it's a great observation. We have an entire series that we've created on Apple Plus called Greatness Code. And the premise is the most memorable moments to great athletes. Like what, and so they, you know, and then they describe them, break them down. And it's always my favorite thing when they tell, like, I, as a fan, would say, oh, that comeback against, you know, the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl, or LeBron winning, you know, in Cleveland or something like that, bring, you know, the first chip, et cetera. But it's always better when they're like, Tom, when he did it, said, no, there's this regular season game, you know, in 2007 against Buffalo. It's like a Sunday night game, like week 12 or something like that. And he's like, that was the most memorable game. You know, LeBron talks about a playoff game, et cetera, like that, not one of the finals. And, you know, it's just because usually those are motivated by things that were going on off the field, things that they were wrestling with in their personal life, and yet they were able to perform at a high level. And I love that. You know, Kobe was the exact same way. Like, he would always talk about, like, nope, here's a game, you know, in Denver in the middle of like 2006 or whatever. And you just, you know, in the thousands of games he's played, there was something about that one. So I always love that.
Just generally, you know, I noticed the second thing in your Twitter bio is storyteller. So you obviously, you are a storyteller. We all consume a lot of stories now, Netflix and stuff like that. Can you watch just TV and movies like as a fan, or do you always think like, oh, I would have made a different choice there, I would have showed it from this perspective, or can you just kind of like sit and observe?
Yeah, I wear, and I and my colleagues, you know, wear our snobby filmmaker, you know, badge with pride. I mean, yeah, I am like, oh, you know, always looking for act structure and conflict and stuff like that. So, you know, I am that, but you know, on the flip side, as a sports fan, like, I can watch Indiana Pacers versus Sacramento Kings. Like, I have no rooting interest, whatever. And I love it. Like, I can, there's no, people always ask me all the time, like, oh, do you ever burn out? Like, do you just like not? And also, you know, the reality, as you know, like, you know, when you're so close, like, you see some of the blemishes, you see the things in the underbelly, like, you know, of these stadiums and stuff. But I still, like, there's something sort of, I mean, it's the name of our company, Religion of Sports. There's something sort of spiritual for me about sports and human potential and performance. And I do love it. Like, so I'd say it's storytelling. I'm kind of snobby, but like, just from the sports of it all, I'm still kind of a fan. And I'm, you know, as long as I'm that way, I don't see myself stopping.
We are all sort of like the product of our environment and our experiences. I listen to a ton of interviews with a ton of people, and there are a lot of things where I'm like, oh, I really like that question, or I like how he did that. Can you remember one thing maybe that you saw on Netflix or anywhere else where you were like, ooh, I don't want to say steal, because that's not the right word, but ooh, I'd really like to use that next time I do something.
I mean, my favorite sports documentary of all time is Senna. You know, Senna's the sort of Portuguese race car Formula One driver. And, you know, they have, it's an incredible story. I'm not an F1 guy. That's like the point. Like, but I watched that, and it's just like the cinematic usage of archival voiceover. They don't do any sit down interviews. I mean, it's just really like bold choices. I mean, this again, like nerdy film stuff, but like really bold choices in terms of, and I'm like, man, like, you got to really, I mean, try selling like a network on that. Like, yeah, I'm gonna interview Tom Brady, but you're not gonna see him. Like, you know, you just, you know, it's like, what? Like, no way. And you know, I've kind of gotten away with it a few times, like on little commercials and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, I just, you know, there's certain stuff out there that might even be niche, like Senna, for example, but in my opinion, is like the greatest sports doc ever created.
Well, we thank you very much for the time today. Is there anything else that you want people to know? Man in the Arena, ESPN Plus, new episodes every Tuesday, companion podcast. Is there anything else you want to make sure that we leave people with?
I don't think so. You know, I look forward to the feedback. It's a great thing about social media. I'm tracking. I'm seeing who's saying what.
The great thing. The great.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. So it's the noise. I find it motivates me too. So I don't block out the noise. I engage the noise until it turns too negative, and then I block it out. But yeah, no, I'm having fun. So, you know, I appreciate this, and I appreciate talking about these things and getting more people seeing the stuff.
Thanks again to Gotham for his time. That's going to do it for this edition of the SB Nation NFL show brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. If you haven't done it already, please rate, review, and follow the SB Nation NFL show. We always say if you take the time to leave us a review, we promise you we will take the time to read it on the show. They really, really do help us. So if you want to support the show, that is the absolute best thing you can do for us. Make sure you check out our Thanksgiving Day extravaganza tomorrow morning. That'll be out for you. And the special Friday look ahead with myself and RJ Ochoa. We will break down all of the biggest games in Week 12. Enjoy your Wednesday, everybody. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. We'll talk tomorrow.